Hello and welcome to Condensed History Gems with me, Greg Chapman, and it's time for another fast 5 minutes of history for you all on a Friday afternoon. And many of you know from listening to this podcast, I think me and Jen probably have brought it up once or twice, that I am by professional a juggler and an escapologist. And when you hear that phrase juggler, a lot of people seem to associate juggler in their head with the circus. And with good reason. Obviously, jugglers and circuses do kind of go fairly hand in glove. Except for the fact, and this might surprise some people, it certainly surprised some people that I've told recently, that I have never been to a circus. Not only have I never performed in a circus, I have no real interest in performing as a circus act. I prefer doing my own shows, I prefer working outside. But also, I have never been to watch a proper circus in a proper big top. I've seen sort of small circus workshops that do an occasional show, but I've never been to see the big ring and the circus. And tonight, I'm actually going to go, for the first time, to go and watch a circus and have some of my ideas of circus altered slightly by the experience. But it got me thinking a little bit about the history of circus, because these days, circuses are generally in trouble, because we don't like animal acts anymore, and there's kind of two sides to that story. But myself, I don't like ever seeing an animal in a cage, and I certainly don't like many of the stories you read from the circuses about the way some animals were mistreated. Now, I'm not going to go out as far as some people say and say every circus animal was badly mistreated and beaten and everything else. I know that that's not true, but it's not the life for, let's say, an elephant travelling around on the back of a train. Now, the interesting thing is I have heard a few people say, well, no, circus wasn't an animal thing, animals were brought into it. And there's a little bit of truth in this, but the fact of the matter is that the history of circuses started with animal performances and a man named Philip Astley. And Philip Astley was a cavalry sergeant major. He was a horse rider in the military, and then he kind of developed to building up a show, and he built up a show that was all about horses, and he did this in London. He didn't entirely invent the idea of a circus ring, but he did realise that the best way to show off horses doing any sort of stunt or trick was not to put them riding along in a straight line, but to put them in a circle where all of the audience could look all the way around and see the whole event the whole time. And so he put these horses in, and he did a season or two in London. And then he quickly realised that people weren't going to keep coming back unless the show changed. And he changed up the show by starting to add variety acts in between the horse performances. He started to add things like jugglers and acrobats, and even introduced the idea of clowns to the circus. And at this time, he was performing this in a fixed building, a proper wooden structure. It wasn't until the Americans in the 1820s came in, and Josiah Purdy Brown was the man who first started touring with a big top, first started to realise that actually what was the best way to do things was to set up a canvas tent. This was because in America, an absolutely huge place, pre-automobiles, it would be much, much easier to take a show, tent, all the acts and everything else on a train to the public than it was for members of the public to travel to the circus. And so these travelling circuses appeared with the big tops and everything else, their own trains, and they would take their trains and everything to the people so that the people could watch a show. And in a way, I obviously have to sympathise with this. One of the big things that I do is travel around the country. I don't stay on the Isle of Wight performing at one place and expecting new people to keep coming in and seeing my act. I do keep performing on the Isle of Wight, and I do have to keep changing my acts because of that, but I do travel around the country as much as I can from place to place. And so, to a certain extent, this is the way that performers work. Way back in Elizabethan times, we had Elizabethan travelling shows, and that is what circus had to develop to. Nowadays, things are a little bit different. Although you still have travelling performers like me, we also have spaces where people will travel hundreds of miles to get to a show, because you can just drive to a show. And I think that's part of the reason why circuses seem to be slowly fading. That and the issues over animals. I said I was going to go and see a circus this weekend, and a few people said to me, oh, we don't like circuses, we don't like the way the animals are treated. Well, as far as I'm aware, there are no UK circuses that have animals in them. I could be wrong. I vaguely think that there is some law about that. But what I'm actually going to do when I go to the circus is I'm going to try and go in with no preconceptions. I'm going to try and leave my preconceptions at the door, walk into that circus, and try and experience it like somebody would have done going into a circus a long time ago, like it had just turned up on the village green and a brilliant show had been brought to them, and I hope I'm not disappointed in that. So I'm off to the circus. I'm not running away to join the circus. I think the circus is far more structured than the performing life that I actually ran away to join many, many years ago. That's all from me for this week with this Fast Five. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye and take care.